Good morning, everyone. Again, today we're going to continue Sandy's message series up, but my part of it is called Flawless, which is I'm going to talk about repairing and rebuilding relationships. So, what is the word flawless, and what does the word flawless mean? The definition of flawless is without any blemishes or imperfections, without any mistakes or shortcomings, or perfection. So what are some of the things that would make up something that would be considered flawless? Something like a 14-karat diamond that the guy's looking a little telescope to find any flaws or imperfections in those. I don't want to single you out, but for you nerds out there, that first edition comic book of Superman or Spider-Man or whatever that's in the cellophane plastic that you have to handle with white gloves, you consider that flawless. A supermodel, after she's airbrushed and then her photograph is then displayed, she would be considered flawless. Some people consider the Mona Lisa the most flawless work of art out there. And all those things have values to people, and they put certain value and certain amounts of what those items are. One of the things that does that is the Antiques Roadshow, or they used to do it, which used to be on TV. They used to put a value on everything. So, for a little bit of fun today, during the sermon, does anybody want a chance to win a $15 gift card to Chipotle? And all you got to do is sit in your seat. You do? Okay. Because you're going to play Antiques Roadshow for me. I got four items that people have brought in that have value to them. Okay? They are a 1919 Norman Rockwell painting, cups made from the 18th century from rhinoceros horns, a 1902 Fabergé flower in a glass vase, and the 1870 Boston Red Sox baseball cards. So which one of those do you think is the most valuable? Are you writing them all down?
I am.
You only have to pick one.
Yeah. most valuable?
What do you think is the most valuable?
I'm going to go with the flower.
You're going to go with the flower? Anybody else think Stephanie might be wrong? Which one? You think it's the rhino cups? Ooh. Anybody think it's the Norman Rockwell painting? And you think it's the baseball cards? Don't open them until I tell you to. Okay? But the whole point of that is all those things have value. Somebody predetermined the value of those items. Whether they're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. It's their opinion. Stop it. It's their opinion of their value. But is there a value that could be placed on your relationship with God? As we are constantly looking to be flawless in our relationship or how God sees us, God isn't looking for flawless stained glass saints to do his work. Instead, he chooses and uses ordinary people with ordinary weaknesses to tend to his flock, to build his church, and to advance his kingdom. That's how Jesus worked. He took a handful of common fishermen, a hated tax collector, and a political zealot and molded them into a force that changed the world. He was and is the master at turning weaknesses into strengths and producing greatness from people whose only asset is their utter uselessness. Take heart, Christ has made us flawless. So we're going to open up the first item right now. I think there's a picture up. And we're going to take a look at the rhino cups. I don't know who has the rhino cups. So open that, and that'll determine that is the value that was placed at auction for those rhino cups.
$1 million.
For that. Now, we don't know what the other three items are valued at. Maybe Sandy has the highest valued item in here. But that is considered, in some people's eyes, flawless. God may have a vision for each of us to rebuild. Oh, and as we talk about flawless and values, your relationships, not only with God, but with others, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a brother, a sister, a friend, coworker. All those relationships have value, but also those relationships sometimes need repair. God may have a vision for each of us to rebuild something that needs repair. Our job is to listen, seek, and then act. It is a time of how rebuilding and repairing the right things will lead us to renewal and revival, both personally and as believers. Whenever you decide that that item needs repair, it will be something that is considered imperfect that could turn into something flawless. So if you attempt to repair and rebuild that item, which happens to be that relationship, make sure that you give God everything involved in that relationship, the good and the bad. If you truly want it repaired, if you truly want it whole, if you truly want it to be a flawless relationship, you have to give him everything. Early on during the crisis, God was speaking the word flawless to me and directing me into this time of season in my life. God has given me more time during the pandemic, as I was working from home, to evaluate all my relationships, to seek out the ones that needed repair and healing, offer forgiveness to those who hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others. But why should we do this? Why should we even bother to attempt to repair and rebuild relationships? If we rebuild the right walls, meaning we take that relationship, that wall that was put up for whatever reason, and we tear it down, and we work with God and use God to rebuild that relationship, we will experience revival in ways we've never seen. We will experience revival by learning to worship him together, just as you did this morning, just as you do in the car. The song sounds a lot better. You think you're more in tune, at least I do. You start to sing a lot more. You start to sing spontaneously. Music follows you around in your life. You also experience revival by learning to honor his word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." It is so much easier when you rebuild that relationship to learn and honor his word. You also experience revival by learning to find our joy in him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer to you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." And also you experience revival by learning to surrender to his plan, which is probably the toughest thing to do, is to surrender to his plan. As God, 2 Samuel 22:31, "As God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him." So you're sitting there saying, okay, you may have a relationship that's pretty bad for whatever reason, and I don't care. It's none of my business. But you sit there and say, I know there's a piece of you, probably more often than not, saying, why? Why should I forgive those that hurt me? Because one, God has forgiven me. If God has forgiven me, I should forgive others. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. People who are forgiven are forgiving. Lack of forgiveness is a sign that I need to come clean to God myself. Yes. Take an inventory. Accept the responsibility. Ask God for forgiveness. Confide in others. Confess in others. I will never have to forgive others more than God has forgiven me. Why also should I forgive those who hurt me? Because unforgiveness just hurts me. Job 5:2 says, "To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish and senseless thing to do." Unforgiveness doesn't hurt the offender. Trust me, that other person could care 2 cents about you. It only hurts you. Harboring unforgiveness is like trying to kill someone else, but you're poisoning yourself. The man who told the doctor, "I need more pills for my colitis." The doctor says, "Why are you colliding with it now?" It's not what you're eating it's the problem. It's what's eating you. Why also should you forgive? Because I will need forgiveness in the future. We're all imperfect. We're all flawed. And there's going to be at some point where we're going to do something and somebody's going to have to give us forgiveness. Mark 11:25 says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. The Bible says we can't receive what we are unwilling to give. All that is such an important part of learning how to forgive and taking those steps to rebuild those relationships from both sides, whether we're in the wrong or whether we think the other person is in the wrong. So let's go to envelope number two. And that person is holding the Norman Rockwell painting. Is your Norman Rockwell painting in value worth more than Sandy's Rhino Cups? $1.25 million for the Norman Rockwell painting. I don't see evidently there must not be a flaw in that painting. I wouldn't pay $1.25 for it, but that's me. Now, there's no flaw in that painting. There are other things, though, in life that have flaws. Some of the things that have flaws that probably will irritate or irk you, but I personally think they have flaws. That indestructible line of dirt the dustpan leaves when you're sweeping the floor. That whole concept is flawed. You sweep everything in there, you lift the dustpan up, there's still a line of dirt. Ketchup in a bottle is flawed. You pay for a whole bottle of ketchup? No, you don't get all the ketchup. Never do. Self-checkout stations are flawed, especially when you hit the Spanish button before you start and you can't get out. What else is flawed? When you buy 10 hot dogs and you get 8 buns. Flawed. What else is flawed for me, because I've had trouble with in the past? A bag of flour is flawed. I have more than once torn a bag of flour before it even got home. No matter how expensive it is, another thing I think is flawed is the settings on a toaster. No matter what you turn it to, it's either going to come out undercooked or you're going to burn it. Doesn't matter. You put it in the middle and it laughs at you. Also flawed, the gaps in bathroom stall doors. As you walk by, they are supposed to be protecting you, right? Isn't there a gap right in between the door? What's the point? Also, my wife, she's not here, so I can say this. Because if she was here, she will kill me. The Hallmark movie channel is flawed, just the whole concept in general. Especially 30 Christmas days and 30 Christmas movies in 30 days. Flawed. The whole thing is flawed. And also the gap in your car between the armrest and the seat, because everything falls in there. I actually read about why they did that, and I don't care. Because it has to do with weight distribution and how the car, I don't care. It's flawed. You probably got like a whole paycheck of change just and French fries just stuffed right in there. So how do we keep on working our relationships to keep them flawless? Before that, we're going to go to item number three. Item number three is the Boston Red Sox baseball cards. Roger has the Boston Red Sox baseball cards. Is it worth more than the Norman Rockwell painting? $750,000 for some old baseball cards. It is not more. So that means the Norman Rockwell painting is still in the lead with one item to go. But for now, we're going to worry about how do we keep our relationships flawless. How do we keep working on our relationships to keep them flawless? There's four R's that you need to know that you need to work on to keep your relationship flawless. The first is recognition. Admit it and face it. I can't forgive people. I'm not willing to blame. You can't get over it until you admit it. I've been wrong. I've been hurt. You got some options when it comes to hurt. You can suppress it. You could just say it's no big deal, doesn't matter. They did the best that they could. No, they didn't. You got hurt. You can express it, and you can admit that you've been hurt. There's no closure without disclosure. If you feel hurt or feel hurt by many, make a list of those that have harmed you. Get it in black and white so you can look at it and face the hurt. You've got to recognize you've been wrong. Forgiveness requires that recognition. The second R is release. Forgiveness is letting go of a debt somebody owes me, and not because they ask or deserve to be given, to be forgiven. We forgive because of the forgiveness God extends to us. For me personally, that second R is the most toughest thing I ever had to do. Because as most of you know, I lost Megan, my daughter, in a car accident. And it took years for me walking around with the recognition and to release, to let that anger go from the guy that hit me because I thought he took my daughter. He technically didn't take my daughter. He caused the accident for her to lose her life. But I walked around with that. I recognized that anger over years and that hurt and that pain, and I didn't release any of that emotion or any of that anger inside of me to start my road to recovery for myself to be healthy. Third is rest, because once I did that, once I released that, truly released it, not say, all right, I forgive him for now. No, until I really let it go, I started to rest. Give the person or persons completely over to God. Don't insist on getting even. And boy, did I think about that for a while. That's not for you to do. God says, I'll be the judging. I'll take care of it. Trust him with it. He will give you peace. This requires a daily choice to forgive. I reaffirm that choice again and again until I find that the hurt is replaced with God's peace. How do you know when you've released an offender fully? When you can think about them and it doesn't hurt anymore. That's forgiving from the heart. I can think about him. He can walk through the door right now. I can look at him honestly and say, I forgive you. And it's a tough thing to do, from my situation to any situation personally affecting you. When you can look at that person, that situation, and not let it bother you, you can truly rest. And the fourth is refocus. So you recognize the anger, you gave him release, you rested, and now you get to refocus on more important things. Refocus on God's purpose for your life. There is a life beyond that hurt. In fact, God can take your experience with hurt and use it to help others. He might even have you go to the person who hurt you, but be careful to make sure God is leading you to do so. You can't be tempted to go to someone as an act of revenge, so you need to make sure you've worked through the forgiveness process first. And for me, God directed me to start the foundation on behalf of my daughter. He didn't have me focus on driving to Lima, Ohio and knocking on this guy's door. That was when I was in part two. But part four told me, take this tragedy and turn it into something good and continue to help others who felt your pain. And that's what me and my family have been able to do. So right now, we're going to go to the last item, which is the glass, the Fabergé flower in a glass vase. And you picked that one first. So is that trinket worth more than the Norman Rockwell painting? $1.5 million worth of flawlessness. I think it's like straight from the dollar store, but I wish I could find that in the dollar store and go to the road show. It's like, give me a million and a half for this. So, we talked about repairing relationships with others. We're going to end on a science experiment. I hope that works. We'll see. That talks about repairing your own relationship with God. Finally, flawless is a lot more than repairing relationships. Think about flaws you have, or maybe even aspects of yourself that you assume are flaws. Maybe your curly hair is uncontrollable. Maybe your child has ADHD. Maybe your past is riddled with mistakes. Maybe just recently you were rude to a stranger. Maybe yesterday you lost your temper with your teenager over the last several days, weeks, and months. Maybe you told your boss a white lie. These are mistakes that are not examples of how God called us to live, but don't live in shame over unintentional or intentional flaws. God's grace is powerful, and he can transform any flaw into something incredibly pure and righteous. Let me show you a final experiment about how to take everything we've discussed and keep it flawless. Again, I don't know if this will work, and I don't think it will, but let's see. It's a metaphor. I got a basket of ice. And everybody knows how ice looks. There's the cubes of ice, and there's the white stuff all in the middle of it that doesn't make it clear. And all that stuff, the ice cube is you, and all the white stuff is social media, work, money, worry, things out of your control, everything that keeps you from having a flawless relationship with God is the white stuff in the ice. And wouldn't it be nice if you can come to God just as clear as this glass of water? Because this is how we present ourselves to God. And then God says, give me everything. So what you normally do is throw ice in there and then hand God that glass. God sees all that white stuff in there, and he's like, I don't want this. You didn't come to me clear. You didn't come to me transparent. You didn't come to me with everything. You left stuff behind. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add some prayer and some hope and mercy and forgiveness, and going to dump it all in there. Ooh. Then we add vinegar to try to speed up the process of taking out some of the whiteness. So what we're going to do is I just added vinegar, which is prayer and worship, all the things we need to do to try to get that relationship clean with God, or clear with God, rather. So as I'm trying to stir this up to get these white stuff to go, there are certain parts to this. That white cube is basically three words. Who am I when you present yourself to God? Who am I? There's a group called, a Christian group called Need to Breathe, which I love them ultimately to death. And they have a new song off of their new album, and it's called Who Am I? And there's a very powerful lyric in that song, which I belt at the top of my lungs every time I hear it. And the lyric goes, I push you away, still you won't let go. You grow your roses on my barren soul. Meaning, if I can continue to come to God barren, not with all the stuff that comes with it, if I continue to come barren, he will grow roses on me. I mean, how powerful is that? The second part is the pain that's in those ice cubes. The pain is momentary, but Christ is eternal. The third part is, remember, God has already paid for our sins. So when the ice cube, if it becomes clear, it's a reminder that we are free to become who God created us to be. The fourth part is unconditional love. And that ice cube, if it becomes clear, if this works, reminds us that we don't have to walk around feeling like a filthy wretch because of our past or what we've done. We are more than the mistakes that we made. And God's grace fills in the gaps. And Christ secured this before you even existed. And finally, God can redeem our brokenness. Flaws could make us feel invisible and become huge burdens that we carry. Instead, let's invite God to make us new and teach us how we can use our flaws for his glory and allow his grace to live hopefully and experience freedom to be unique. So I don't know. There's one. I don't know if the camera can see that. All I know is now that's clear. And that's what God wants us to bring to him. It's clear. That's what he wants. He wants us to become clear with, there's a couple of pieces in there. But that's what God wants. Again, he doesn't want here's one piece. There's a difference between the two. He doesn't want this. We continually bring that to him. This is the one he wants, the clear one. I'm not going to drink this because it's got vinegar and salt in it. So, my papers are all ruined. In conclusion, let God strengthen you. Turn your temper into a prayer for patience. Smile at the stranger who nearly ran into you with their shopping cart in a packed grocery store. We all tend to view aspects of ourselves as flawed, but the truth is God did not make any mistakes when he created you. God doesn't make mistakes. You're exactly the way you're supposed to be. God made you flawless. And as long as we remember that, we will see the beauty on the inside begin to come out, and we will shine for the world. Amen? Thank you. Next week, Sandy will continue the up. Look, these are ruined. Sandy will continue the series of up titled With This News. I want to thank you all for allowing me to speak today. God bless. Stephanie's lunch is on Stephanie, so place your orders with her. Yeah. And we will see you all here next week. Thank you.